This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Back to the spaceship theory. Is it one race? Is it many races? Are we a stopping point to see how bad a civilization can be?
I like something that we hit upon and what you just mentioned there, Gene. Like, it's one of the things that, I mean, we can go back and we can review some of the reasoning, but the one about it being an accident, I think is really interesting because we have stories, say, you know, we've got from the Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Triangle, other places on the Earth where people have experienced what to them is some sort of displacement in their existence, where everything is out of whack and out of order, and then they come back into what seems like normal, you know, our normal world again. And in some cases, their time is not quite right and doesn't match. And we have things like the Mandela effect that seems to indicate that people are changing places in different universes. Well, what if all of this is beyond all of our knowledge? And by all of us, I mean the aliens too. I've said it before. I do believe alien visitation is real, but I don't know how they've got here. And you could be right. What if they're just cruising along in their saucer on their planet and they go through one of these places that causes this displacement and they suddenly find themselves here and they look out and they go, what's going on? Where are we? How did we get here? Some plane starts chasing them, and then away they go, and they just pop back into where they came from, and they go back to their own people and go, you wouldn't believe what happened to me, man. Like, we were just out flying around, and suddenly we were over this crazy blue planet with all of these creatures on it that were totally different, right? That is a possibility.
Yes, but how does it explain 70 years of UFOs and possible UFOs through the centuries? I mean, if it's a one-time accident, are we so attractive as to keep them coming here?
Well, there's been lots of disappearances and stuff. Like, maybe it has something to do with, I mean, you're the one that brought up the idea that it's an accident. Now, maybe somebody's got it figured out how to use that knowledge, like how it actually happens, and control it. That may be the case as well. Now, personally, I think we're still dealing with the most sensible explanation being something interstellar, but it just being an accident on both sides of the fence is an actual possibility. I don't think many people consider it, but I mean, if it's going on here with us, why couldn't it be going on there with them and the two intersect sometimes? And nobody really knows what's going on. Like, we always tend to assume that the aliens must be so much further advanced if they're coming here like that in these little ships. Maybe they have no idea how they're doing it either.
Well, so the portal opens up like you see in some of the TV shows. In fact, there was a remake of Flash Gordon on, I think, the Sci-Fi Channel. Now, in the previous Flash Gordon stories, he travels in a spaceship to Mongo or whatever. Here they go through an accidentally discovered dimensional porthole.
Sure. It's possible. The Stargate, like the original movie, they find a Stargate buried in, where is it, Antarctica or something?
I think it was like Egypt or something. It was like, it opens up like Indiana Jones or the Mummy or something, where they're right over there in Egypt and they're looking and they pick up this artifact and they bring the artifact back to America. And Dr. Daniel Jackson, played originally by James Spader when he was thin and had hair.
Yes.
And he plays this scientist who believed in this stuff, but he was discredited. And now what he believed is shown to be true. Okay, that's the basic Stargate story.
Hey, along those lines, just a quick little Easter egg here. If you go back and listen to the show with Brooks Agnew, that when we interviewed Brooks, Gene, the new Godzilla movie that came out recently actually name-dropped Brooks Agnew in the Middle Earth Theory twice in that movie. If you guys film heads want to go back and look for that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Anyway.
So here we are back to shop talk. You know, do people even like us just sitting around a table and theorizing about what's going on? I mean, anybody can do that. We need some feedback from our audience. You know, what you guys want to hear from us, what direction you'd like to see us take, and how we can do it. And if you've got ideas for guests, send us their contact information. That'll make it a lot easier for us to get in touch with them and ask them to come on the show.
We do have a thread in our forums about guest suggestions, but 9 times out of 10, no contact information, meaning we have to go and research it. Sometimes we find it, sometimes we don't. But if you know how we can get in contact with that particular individual, makes it easier.
I'd like to keep the whole grassroots feeling alive, too, for the show, like that the whole podcast internet thing where we don't necessarily have to have, you know, the top name celebrities in the field. But if you know some person who's got some really interesting ideas and can talk about these subjects in an interesting way, like, say, for example, one of our favorite guests is Red Pill Junkie. Great guy to have on the show. And we may be having him coming on in the near future, too. Have them get in touch with us. Because people can join the round table as well. I mean, I used to be just a forum person, and then I started participating in some round tables. Now I'm a co-host on the show. Anything's possible. We really like the idea that everyone is welcome here, as long as you've got some good, constructive, and interesting things to say.
And the point is, there are only so many so-called big-name UFO or paranormal investigators. Then there are people who I guess would be in the journeyman category. They come out with books, they write columns, and we get them on too. But the up-and-comers, we've had a few of those, and it's important that we do, partly because I'm sure you get tired of listening to the same old from certain guests, and okay, that's fine. They said something nice. Let's hear what somebody else has to offer.
Well, I think also, guys, we're in an age where we're in the time when what is expertise in this field? You know, what are you, a physicist? Are you an avid private researcher? Do you have insights? Are you a contactee, experiencer? I mean, what qualifies you, too? So I'm not a big name person. Like, I get a little annoyed with the YouTubes and the Twitter from some of these folks. I look at this whole ATIP thing as kind of a watershed for me. You know, it kind of like showed everybody what side they were on and what they were willing to believe and what they were pushing for. And, oh, Gene, so much of it ended up being political. It's insane. And you know that through the years, right, the way that this subject constantly crosses other social issues, et cetera.
Well, the thing I wonder about here, too, is suddenly out of the blue we have Tom DeLonge. I see nothing in anything he says at any time showing me he has any expertise in the subject. He sounds like just a fan, but because he's a rock star with a big bank account, he could get more prominence.
What's the, how do we describe or define expertise, though? I mean, outside of being an experiencer, is there expertise? I don't know.
The point would be here, and Randall can define it, if you've been around for a while, if you've been published, if you've been heard on radio and TV, if people in general listen to what you say and accept some of the things you say, that makes you a personality. Stanton Friedman would have been nothing but a nuclear physicist or someone who was formerly a nuclear physicist until he was interviewed and started doing lectures and writing a couple of books. Otherwise, who would he be? Nick Redfern writes, you know, 20 books a day. Okay, stop the presses. The one, the only Red Pill Junkie will be joining William Puckett on this weekend's edition of After the Paracast. You can hear After the Paracast only if you're a member of the Paracast Plus. Visit plus.theparacast.com for more information. Mark, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription-strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I don't know what makes somebody a famous UFO or paranormal investigator. The late Brad Steiger wrote 165 books. But when he wrote his first book, he was just a teacher writing on the side. What made him well known. But he came in at the right time, at a time when there was interest in UFOs, and his books were good enough to gain a following.
Well, it's obviously the media, right? In his case, books were his medium or form of media, and he's a good and interesting writer, and there weren't a lot of them at the time as well, so he was able to fill that market. So it's all about the market and about media. That's what makes a person famous. What makes a person credible or gives them any expertise is years of study and critical thinking and trying to sort out issues in a way that makes sense. That includes people like scientists who are working on projects like, say, the Haskell Project. Even our former co-host, Christopher O'Brien, who's got the San Luis Valley Camera Project. There's a guy who's gone out and done, I don't know, probably thousands of miles of on the scene, in the field work. You know, that really deserves a lot of respect, and written books as well. He's very well versed in his history of it and doesn't really take any BS. And that's gotten him in a little bit of hot water sometimes, but you still got to respect his approach.
Yeah, and there recently there's a number of very well-intended UFO groups that are popping up. I mean, we know the usual suspects, but, you know, for example, very, very recently in the last few months there's something known as the UAP Expeditions Group. This is made up by ex-military and NASA personnel. I believe the head of this particular nonprofit is Kevin Day, and he was like a naval, I think he was a petty officer, but he was a radar officer. But he has put together a brand new group, or they are under affiliated with Kevin Newth. That's the NASA guy. Anyway, the point is there's a lot of really credible people starting groups foundationally that have a lot of experience and a lot of foundational science behind them that haven't popped up before. These aren't MUFONs. I think one of the great things about, and I'll go back to this, the videos and all the metadata that was released with those videos, you know, this has really spurred a renaissance, I think, in physics. And we're seeing that in some of these nonprofit groups that are being made up of what one would think of as a traditional white coat scientist. It's exciting. It's exciting that it's getting this much attention. Now, whether or not we ever resolve if they're, you know, more like us or less like us, the fact that it's almost like science fiction, right? You guys, where science fiction spurs a lot of thinking, you have these great minds, it's like weaponizing science fiction. Well, all of a sudden we have these tapes come out and all these great young physicists are like, how the hell do those things do that? You know, and then it just gets them cranking, the wheels get going and stuff. And then they start forming groups. And so if there's one big takeaway, I think, from this latest 2018, 2019, the revelation and the release of these videos is really these young wave of physicists coming up that are saying, okay, this is actually real. I can put some real thought into this and not, you know, get scrutinized for it or you know, get et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a really positive thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure, it's happening. It's happening. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm literally looking at this new group, you know, right now, and here's their deal. Here's their mission statement. The group is in this early phase. The goal of the expedition, or what they're calling an expedition, is actually their nonprofit, is to give some ground truthing. I think, so that's the key, ground truthing. We aim to try to observe these objects directly and record them using multiple imaging modalities. And that's what I brought up earlier about the fact that our sensing and radar technologies have actually advanced to the point where we can pick up these modalities that operate within physical systems that aren't well understood, right? So our sensors have caught up, and this is exciting because when sensors measure things through multiple modalities, you know, you're getting independent verification from the same point source, which in science, I don't want to get too weird, but that's a big deal. So if you have a camera in one position, but you have four different types of cameras, you know, meaning spectral ranges, thermal, infrared, near infrared, you know, all these sort of things, if you can get an image of an object from the same point source, but from different optical instrumentation, and that's kind of what they're referring to here, is what you would call ground truthing. This is a big deal. The problem is, how do you deploy a platform, say a drone or something, soon enough after an event where you can actually acquire that type of data. So then,
even if you get it, the problem is you're still dealing with just images and data. You're not dealing with the actual object. And so, I mean, yeah, okay, we might be able to prove something is there. As a person who's been in ufology since I was a kid, I don't need any more convincing that they're there. You know, what we need is more evidence about what they are. Like, we know they're there. We just don't know exactly what they are and how they work.
Yeah.
Like you were suggesting, though, maybe some of these different sensing equipments can give us some more clues to that, you know, because we'd be dealing with different ranges and who knows, we might be able to come up with some sort of evidence that suggests how they work, and then maybe we could make our own. But even that wouldn't really prove that the thing was actually there in its, you know, whatever it was. It's so frustrating. Why do you think that is, Mark? Why do you think that, okay, if we assume we know they're there, why is it that they don't let us have the verifiable, scientifically valid evidence we need to prove it to the world? Why do they do that?
There's two things. They don't want us to know much about them. So there's some sort of purpose there. The other thing is the technology is just too, you know, it's just too foreign to us that we really haven't been able to wrap our brains around it. That's kind of what I meant earlier about this idea that, you know, we're on the verge in science of understanding spooky action at a distance. I mean, look, as a species, we have all these centuries of hard science under us, and we just, you know, and we're dealing with something today that we have no idea about. We don't understand wave collapse. We don't understand quantum field. We don't understand these things. So we live in a time where I guess the environment is showing us analogs for exactly what it is we don't know. And there in that space has got to be where this resides.
That's an interesting take on the whole thing. Like, it's okay. So the best I can figure when it comes to what you're talking about with wave collapse and particle wave duality, and when you were talking about consciousness affecting the outcomes, there is a little bit of a confusion about how some of that works. So, for example, consciousness has, and we're not entirely sure about this because it was another experiment that was done with the quantum eraser experiment is called, but
we've got a break and find out more about this with Gene Randall and Mark Turin.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is once again sounding off about the whistleblower. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
During a White House event on Friday morning, President Trump was asked by reporters about the week's public impeachment hearings in the U.S. House. At the root of the impeachment inquiry was his phone call with the Ukraine leader back in July that a whistleblower claimed should have been of concern. Asked if he would try to fire the still anonymous whistleblower, the president says,
I consider it to be a fake whistleblower because what he wrote didn't correspond to what I said in any way, shape, or form.
The president was remarking during the event, which was supposed to be honoring nearly two dozen championship collegiate teams.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 109 points, the S&P up 6, and the NASDAQ up 14. This is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down, 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered, 800-289-2646, or go to SwissAmerica.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, we cut you off. We're stitched you together now. Continue.
There is this idea out there that consciousness is what is causing the wave collapse, but it's not. Consciousness. What's happening in those machines, and I've looked at the machines, and this is what people need to do. They have to stop just listening to the sort of new agey woo people who want to get into this quantum woo thing. You can't even see inside the machines, period. Okay? They're sealed. There's no way that you're going to be able to consciously register a single photon anyway. What it actually is, it's the measurement. And so whatever it is that's measuring the particles as they are emitted and detected in the machine, that's what's causing it. You can be a person who's not in the room and has nothing to do with the experiment and come back and it'll be the same thing. So really consciousness is one of those kind of red herrings that people who like to theorize about consciousness and quantum physics don't really have straight. With that.
I think that's true, Randall, and I agree with you across, well, actually on every point, except for that, you know, or where I would add is simply that we know that consciousness is the phenomena of being able to actually acknowledge something. And to be able to acknowledge something, there's kind of two levels. Can you acknowledge something objectively or subjectively? So if I acknowledge something objectively, I'm assuming something else is conscious. And so we really don't know if whatever this is even being acknowledged by us. Because we have no, I mean, look, there's arguments about people, whether or not animals are conscious, even though the word animate, animale, is actually, it means to be, have a spirit, is the root of that word, which is kind of stupid. Anyway, so, I mean, we're in a society where we're still trying to decide if plants and animals have consciousness, and yet, you know, we're standing right next to the thing. And then, you know, how does that play in to another life form?
Well, how it plays in.
It's rudimentary. We're kind of idiots, man.
Well, this is where I was going with this. With this whole experiment, what we're talking about, what it suggests, and of course people are taking this seriously now in philosophy and even in the sciences, is that we're living in a simulation. And that's where that all goes. Because if we're living in some sort of, and we use simulation very generically there, we're living in a construct of some kind where there's a central cause. We'll call it a device. We could look at it as an analogy to some sort of maybe supercomputer that runs the whole entire thing. And from its perspective, there is no distance. Things can be in two places at once. There's instant communication. There's spooky action at a distance, because distance isn't relevant from the point of view of whatever it is that is causing the construct to exist in the first place. It solves a whole bunch of these problems. And so maybe what we're dealing with are phenomena that is as real to us as anything else that are being injected into our realm from whatever it is that is creating it in the first place. That's entirely possible. And that is what would make sense of what you were saying, how it's all connected, how those things like the wave particle duality, consciousness, and everything else is connected. It could be connected through that mechanism if we look at it in that way. It seems to make sense. I mean, at least to me. I don't know about to you guys, but
no, I love the perspective. You know, so funny is we all have our perspectives on ET. It'd be interesting if there actually was ET, how many different perspectives there would be on us. You know, once you acknowledge consciousness, it invites all these other things you have to acknowledge, you know, like hygiene. Okay, is another conscious being, do they care about hygiene? You know, I don't know. It gets weird quick when, you know, if our world is what it is, and there's a whole other world out there, and they got all these little quirks and stuff, consciousness becomes a big deal. Because it kind of describes a system.
It muddies the water, too. And we've got a huge consciousness thread on the forum where we get deep into this stuff. We actually have two threads on the forum. For that matter, we have a consciousness and the paranormal, and then we have philosophy, science, and the unexplained. And recently I was looking at the whole delayed choice quantum eraser experiment, and their claim there is that consciousness actually is a causal factor in wave collapse, which is really interesting, because if that's the case, then that is a consciousness detector. And up until this point, we've never had a consciousness detector. We just assume other people are conscious and possess consciousness is something that is about them, our experience of the world, but we've had no way to prove it. But if this is true in this delayed choice quantum eraser experiment, that it is consciousness, it's the first actual consciousness detector that we've ever made. And that seems to have kind of gone above everybody's heads out there in terms of what's going on. It's just sort of, well, this is a really interesting experiment, but what does it mean? Well, that's one of the things it means. We could now determine, for example, in practical terms, whether something like an AI is actually conscious, or if it's just a collection of microchips that are doing very fast calculations. Because there's a big difference between intelligence and consciousness.
Brendan, do you think if that's the case, if we live in some sort of simulation and et cetera, what is it about us that makes us so important? Why that you know what, for me, hearing you say that, that puts us squarely back into the center of the universe. It's not egotistical, but it's like you can't separate the two. If you're going to make our existence so damn important, you know, everything else must rotate around us. Has that been brought up in the forum? Has anybody kind of brought that up about consciousness and the way that we self-value our perspective, maybe, for lack of a better term?
I don't think it's been discussed directly, but it is an interesting point because, you know, the idea is, well, perhaps consciousness permeates not only this realm, but let's say the realm of the machine or whatever it is that is responsible for generating this construct. Maybe there are beings like, not unlike ourselves, who've created a way to create universes. We're modeling universes in our supercomputers now. Who's to say in 1,000 years we won't be creating universes, right? Does that mean that the people that we, that our consciousness will be the only valid consciousness and that whatever happens to the creations within the realms that we create when we're able to will not have consciousness?
Maybe we are something within someone else's or something else's consciousness. That's the other point.
Maybe, but it all seems so dispassionate then, doesn't it? Like everything that follows these rules, it's set up by rules, rules that are so exact that we can model them very, very exactly using computing rules. So it seems like whatever the construct itself is rather dispassionate. But maybe whatever created the universe generator, for lack of a better term, maybe they are just interested in what happens, and we're such a small little part of the whole overall thing that we're just not important to them.
We are self-important to ourselves. Nobody else cares.
Yeah.
That's why, for example, when people are abducted, you think they don't care, E.T., because they subject them to painful, primitive experiments. But then again, do we believe that's even a literal interpretation of what happened? You know what? We're going to break because we've been doing a roundtable featuring Mark Jackson, who hasn't been on in a while. He's going to be back more often, occasionally being a guest co-host. It's Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy, a few other announcements. In January, we expect to have Leslie Kane, and she was one of the authors of that original article about the Pentagon UFO study. So she has lots of insights to offer us. More to come with Gene and Randall and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When we sat down to do this, a round table, just the three of us chatting, sometimes we wondered, can we fill a show? No, we can fill five shows.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's just three of us, too. I wish other folks would come on the round table. It would be interesting to expand the conversation and get different perspectives. And it's really cool that you guys even invite your listeners to do as much. I think other people make those offers, but I don't think they're as genuine quite as the invitation that the Paracast extends. So if anybody's listening and wants to get your two cents in, reach out to Randall on the forum. Let's dig into it.
Well, that kind of brings up another thing then, you know, okay, so we can get into ideas of constructs of reality. What is the nature of consciousness? We do those things on the forum. We talk about them. We're interested in them. But there's a whole other realm of the paranormal out there. We tend to dwell a lot on UFOs. Once in a while, we get into Bigfoot. Where does our audience stand? And by audience, I mean you people who are listening out there. You know, should we be getting into cryptozoology more? Should we be getting into animal communication more? Should we be getting into ghosts and past lives and fortune telling? Like, how far out to, on the fringe should we go? How much closer to home should we be in terms of our content? We'd really like to get some feedback on that.
Yeah, just to let everybody know, I mean, you'd be comfortable. Randall and Gene have just as much interest in those topics as myself, et cetera. By way of an update, I can tell you guys recently, a five-year study was just completed at Lake Loch Ness, or at the Loch Ness. Turns out that Loch Ness, or Nessie, is a form of rare giant eel. So what they did is they took samples of DNA from many different places across the loch, including soil samples, et cetera.
Hey, wait a minute, Mark.
Yeah.
Let's just back it. Did you just say they actually discovered a rare giant eel? The real deal? Like, not just a theory?
Oh, no. They have a taxological. No, they assigned the DNA to a type of giant eel that isn't seen regularly in the loch, but it presents an environment for this particular species to grow rather large. And so they think that that's kind of what's going on there, or at least that's the latest. Now, a lot of people would disagree with the science behind it because how watered down does a sample get in terms of DNA, so there's a lot of contention there. Also, recently in crypto news, I know that the original guy, In the 80s, early 80s, a gentleman, the leading researcher into Bigfoot, Gigantopithecus, etc. in North America, sent some hair samples off to the FBI. John Greenwald recently at the Black Vault, and he put in a FOIA to find out what happened to those hair samples, because the idea was they wanted to resubmit them, those samples, for new, more modern, current techniques of testing the DNA, whereas in the 80s, when the FBI tested it and came back as inconclusive. So anyway, the big deal here is that the FBI lost the hair samples. They can't find them. So the response to the FOIA with Greenwald and this researcher, who I believe is in his 90s now. I wish I could remember his name. Anyway, that's kind of a kind of a dust up in crypto right now. Crypto by way of science, anyway.
You know, how the evidence always seems to disappear, magically disappear. Our special correspondent, William Puckett, he actually had physical copies of the MJ-12 documents. And when they went out for analysis, they mysteriously disappeared as well. And, you know, I do believe that he's sincere about that. I believe he actually had them. I don't think he's just making it up. You know, what's the deal with all of the disappearing evidence? That's another mystery all in and of itself.
Or somebody screwing with us. Putting that stuff out there to tantalize us, to misdirect us. I think the original MJ-12 documents were very likely efforts at misdirection, other than frustration from people who couldn't get any evidence, so they decided to make their own. Or maybe just smoke out people who had the real evidence.
Yeah, either way, you know, William had copies of it, and then it just disappeared too. You know, and of course, you've all heard this, you know, the claims of things like gun camera footage and photographs being... Just, you know, and up to the Nimitz thing where we were talking about earlier, Mark, you were talking about how, and we were both saying, yeah, the, you know, the evidence from the radar recordings and everything just gone. So there's definitely something's going on. Anybody that looks into this for any length of time is going to realize, no, there's something going on here. And after enough study, the only reasonable conclusion is, yeah, we've got some real alien visitation going on. Okay, one last pet peeve of mine here. Are we going to follow with the whole UAP thing, you know, that came out of NARCAP? Because, you know, I'm hearing this a lot more, but when you really look at the at what they're talking about and how they've defined it, it doesn't really address what it is that we're talking about, or at least what I'm interested in and guys like Stanton Friedman were interested in, and that's alien visitation, flying saucers, real craft, not just a phenomena.
Right, but I think one reason to choose that is to make it scientifically acceptable and get rid of the term and the connotations and sometimes the stench, frankly, of UFOs. As much as we take it seriously and may feel it more accurately represents what's going on, I can see their point of view. That's not a good thing. We want to start with something new so we can give it more respectability, right or wrong.
My point of view, and that is, they're just throwing us under the bus then. They're just agreeing with it and saying, well, we're going to be so much better than the ufologists because we've got a name that doesn't carry the baggage. Whereas I'm thinking that what we really need to do is recognize that a lot of work has been done under the ufology label, really good work by a lot of people in history, and stand behind them instead of, you know, throwing the rest of them under the bus. Like when they're talking unidentified aerial phenomena, they're talking about the visual stimulus that provokes a sighting report. Okay, and this, the reason I got into that is because it links up with this whole thing about consciousness and subjectivity. Look, this just is a subjective thing. You know, it's not just an internal thing that's all in people's minds, a visual stimulus that people see. Radar waves don't bounce off stuff that's just in your mind, you know? Whereas it's something real. It's not just a phenomenon, right? If alien visitation is real, we're not talking about just visual stimulus. We're talking about aliens visiting Earth. Let's say what it is. Let's call it what it is.
Right, but if it turns out it's not aliens visiting us, we at least want to know what's going on. Might be. It might be a combination of several things, including secret weapons and other things we don't know about and we haven't figured out yet.
Sure. I say, fine. If that's what people want to investigate, if they want to investigate strange new animals or creatures that exist in the atmosphere or technology or something else, they're not talking about UFOs. Okay. UFOs are a very specific thing. They're alien craft. They're from someplace else. They're made by some other civilization. That's what we're really interested in. All the rest of this other stuff is just fluff. Like Friedman said, I don't care about all the rest. I'm interested in the flying saucers. And I think that once we start to go off on all these other tangents, we lose focus on what we're really about.
Yes, but that's assuming one answer before the evidence is here to prove it. Yes, it may be physical spacecraft from other worlds, but we have to consider other possibilities, maybe not as seriously, but we sometimes have to sit back and look at it all over again because we get so immersed in the discussion, we kind of lose our focus. But this is a discussion we will never resolve, at least in my lifetime, I don't think. Maybe tomorrow it'll all come down. Mark Jackson, do you still have a site up there we can check out?
Yeah, I haven't been blogging much lately. I've been busy doing other things like everybody. Locally here, I've been working, and I just want to put a plug out there for Anomaly Archives Austin. That being said, research continues. I'm always driving my research towards an eventual book, like everybody in this field. But that being said, I'm looking at things like everybody and trying to find insights to move the narrative forward.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast community group, fan club, whatever, on Facebook. And also look for the Paracast Plus. It's where you pay a few dollars a month and you get a special version of this show with better quality audio, free of the network ads. How about that? And you also get the After the Paracast podcast where you never know what's going to happen next, and sometimes we don't either. To find out more about the Paracast Plus, please visit plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Don't know how we end this, since there are no guests, except Mark, kind of. He hasn't been around for a while. So, Mark, thanks for coming back.
Look forward to it. Come on in, everybody. It's fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.